Father, that we do love you, dear Jesus, more than, at least it's our desire, dear Jesus, to love you more than anything. And honestly and truthfully speaking, sometimes we do allow other things, oftentimes not bad things, but other things to come between our love for you, dear Lord, and sometimes other things supersede our love for you. So please forgive us for those times, dear God, and help us even the more today, dear Jesus, to truly love you more than any other thing on planet Earth, any other thing in life. You've told us, dear God, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But this is the first and greatest commandment, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So, dear Lord, as your spirit who is in us guides us and produces that type of love in our life, indeed, help us to love you, dear Lord, with all that we have. And then help us to love others correctly, dear God. We thank you, Father, for this worship opportunity. We thank you, Father, for this preaching moment now, dear Lord. I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Pray that you would give your people, dear God, a listening ear. And as the book of James admonishes all of us, that we would not just be hearers of the word of God, but be doers of the word of God. And always be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise that you and you alone are worthy of. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand briefly this morning, and I'm going to lift two passages of Scripture. One is right out of what we've been reading the last few weeks out of Ephesians chapter 5, but one is out of 1 Peter 3:7. Good to see all of y'all here this morning, and each and every one of y'all. And definitely good to see Brandon and Albany here this morning with the little newborn here this morning. Amen. Good to see them. Time flies. I saw your oldest daughter walking on out, going to either to the nursery or children's church. She's not quite in children's church yet, but going to the nursery, I guess. Time flies. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, two verses, 1 Peter 3:7 and Ephesians 5:25. 1 Peter 3:7, I'm reading this from the ESV translation, English Standard Version, very good translation. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." We'll come back to that one in a moment. And Ephesians 5:25, of course, is in your Bible, and also it's in the bulletin this morning. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing her honor. With that being said, my topic this morning is, brothers, husbands, let's get it right. Brothers, husbands, let's get it right. You may be seated. Brothers, husbands, let's get it right. A subtitle could be husbands, the husband role in marriage, the husband role in marriage. So we're going to look at marriage for the next couple of weeks. And this week, we're going to primarily look at the husband's role. And next week, sisters, ladies, we'll deal with you all, the wife role in marriage. But today, mainly we're dealing with the brother's role in marriage. A little joke. I heard this joke about 3 weeks ago on Pastor Erwin Lutzer, who is the retired pastor now of the Moody Church in Chicago, one of my favorite preachers. He still comes on Moody Radio, and I heard him tell this joke, and then I heard it again about a week ago. So I said, okay, I'll let the joke fly. So if it's a bad joke, it's not my joke. But as we talk about marriage for the next couple of weeks, it's been said that marriage is kind of like flies on a screen door. Those on the inside want to get out, and those on the outside want to get in. That's what they say. But with that being said, marriage is an institution that was created by God. In Genesis chapter 2, we know the story. God says it's not good for man to be alone, so he caused man to fall asleep, took a rib out of man's side, fashioned a woman by the name of Eve, and God himself performed the first marriage ceremony. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached about singleness, so it's a blessing to be single if that's your lot right now in life, or widow or widower. God is still that we elevate those positions as well. But marriage was created by God. Genesis chapter 2, and a matter of fact, brothers, the scriptures tell us that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with God. A couple of sisters say, yeah. So a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with God. So this morning, my two anchor verses, this is going to be kind of a topical sermon. I'm not going to take a list of like 10 verses in a row and just go through each verse. I'm going to pull different verses from different places in the scriptures. And my main two anchor verses are the two that I read earlier. First Peter chapter 3 verse 7, husbands, especially the first part, likewise, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing her honor. Ephesians 5:25, my other anchor verse. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And so this morning, brothers, husbands, 1 Peter 3 says, live with your wife in an understanding way. So we need to get like a PhD degree on our wife. A PhD, a master's degree on our wife. Now, I must admit, I've been married approaching 24 years now, and I think I might be, maybe I got my bachelor's degree by now, maybe, I don't know. Sister Tanya, my wife, said she heard a guy on the radio just the other day, Steve Farver, out of the Dallas area. He's a Christian man, writes a lot of books. He's been married over 50 years, and he said he's still learning about being a good husband. So brothers, I mean, we're ever striving, but never arriving. We're always growing, always learning, trying to be a better husband to our wife. So we're learning. But brothers, today, if you take a few notes, perhaps we're going to help you out a little bit today on how to be a better husband. So also, wife, though, today, you're here today, so you take notes also. So you can kind of help keep us in line, make sure we're on point. And if you're single, as a single man, take notes as well. That way you'll be ahead of the game. You already kind of have a blueprint for marriage even before you get there. And as a single lady, you take notes as well. If it's your desire to get married one day, that way you kind of know what your husband should be doing once you get to that particular thing. And if you are a widow or a widower, if you say, I'm not going to get married, but you got children or grandchildren, you can help them with marriage. So this morning, this message is really for all of us. It's for everybody, not just for the husbands, but that's my primary target audience is the husband, but also it's for everybody. It's for everybody. So the scriptures say, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5:25. Also, the scriptures tell us to husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. So brothers, I got to ask you, are you loving your wife as Christ loves you? Are you living with your wife in an understanding way? This morning, again, I'm going to give you a few tips, a few pointers, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is not like everything that the husband should be doing, but just a few high level things, and we'll hit some more in the next couple of weeks. But one way, brothers, one way that we can live with our wife in an understanding way and honor her and love her is by, as we go into marriage and as we're in marriage, look at marriage as, you want to write this down, look at marriage as a lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, Jesus said this. He said, they are no longer two. That's what Jesus said. They are no longer two. You might want to write that reference down, Matthew 19, 6. They are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. So Jesus said, if you marry, especially a Christian husband, Christian wife, if you marry, boom, you marry forever. One of the ways as husbands we can help honor our wives is by giving them that type of security. Say, hey, I'm in it to the end. This is a lifelong commitment. You know, go into marriage viewing as a lifelong deal. No plan B. There's no other option. No backup plan. No escape clause. No, you are committed to the Lord and committed to your wife for life. Let me say that again. As a Christian, you are committed to your wife and to the Lord first and to your wife for life. Matter of fact, if your wife try to leave, say, honey, if you leave, I'm leaving with you. Wherever you going, I'm going. We going there together. It's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong to death. Y'all remember that? I've done a lot of marriage ceremony. Y'all remember that? They still got that line in there, to death do us part. For better or for worse, for sickness, for good or bad, you know, wealth or poverty, whatever. Forever. It's a lifelong commitment. So as we view marriage, especially once again, this goes for the wife too, but definitely I'm once again talking more to the brothers this morning. As a husband, tell your wife, hey, I'm here. We in it to the end. We in it to win it. We in it to the end. If you try to leave, I'm leaving too. Second thing, another way that brothers, that we can show our wife honor is by unconditional love. Unconditional love. Another word you could put maybe sacrificial love, unconditional love, or sacrificial love, the agape type of love, the John 3:16 type of love, for God so loved the world that he gave. So one of the ways that a husband can show his wife honor is by showing her unconditional love. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or maybe you might have an iDevice, your phone or iPad. You can go there as well. I'm going to read this also from the ESV translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, we get our directions about marriage, how to be a better husband, from the Word of God. You don't get it from Jody down the street. You get it from the Word of God. You know, how to be a better husband. So 1 Corinthians 13, this is known as a love chapter, a great chapter. They read it at some weddings. It's a great chapter. We won't read the whole thing. I'll start at verse 3 and read down through the first part of verse 8. But this is how, brothers, once again, we can show our wife honor and respect and live with her in an understanding way. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So here it is. Here's this unconditional love. Here's this sacrificial love, brothers, that we need to be showing our wives. Love is patient. You might want to write that down. Patient. Love is patient. So we have to be patient with our wife. Patient. Love is patient. Oftentimes in this day and time, we're all impatient a lot of times. But love, true love, is patient. Love is kind. These are just basic, simple, good words. Love is kind. Brother, husband, be kind to your wife. That's true love. Be kind. You know, we can say all day, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if you're not kind to your wife, you're not really being loving to your wife. Be kind. Love is kind and it's not jealous. You know, trust your wife. She don't have to tell you where she is every second of the day. Gotta have some trust in your marriage. Now, if she leaves at 9 o'clock, say, I'm going to the store to get something, don't come back to 1 o'clock in the morning, that's a different deal. That's a different deal there now. But don't be so jealous, though. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. And it's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. In other words, love doesn't act a fool. Brothers, don't be acting a fool in your marriage. Love does not seek its own. In other words, love is not self-centered. Now, all of us, I'm sure all of us, husband and wife, single or married, all of us have to fight this self-centeredness, you know, this flesh. I kind of want what I want. If I see one cookie left in the cookie jar, I'm just going to get it. That's mine. I'm going to eat it. I don't care who hadn't eaten it. I mean, self-centeredness. Love is not self-centered. Love is not self-centered. It does not seek its own. Brothers, we should need to look out what's best for our wife. So it does not seek its own. And then also, love is not provoked. So love just don't go off so easily. you know, it's no sin being angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. See, all of us, anger is a, I would say, somewhat of a healthy emotion. There are some things we should get angry about, Sister Cousin. There's some things we should get mad about. But the Bible says be angry and sin not. So when this text says love is not provoked, it's just somebody, it's basically about not, it's uncontrollable anger. Just going off. Brothers, you shouldn't be walking through your house, you know, with your wife and your kids, and they stare at you and say anything because I don't know what daddy or husband gonna do. He easily provoked. Now I love my daddy to death. I love my dad to death. But my dad was kind of from the old school. He's at home with the Lord now. And he was just kind of from the old school. And so, certain things, if he said it, that's just the way it was. And so he worked hard, you know, he worked at this factory, at this lumber mill, he ended up being a supervisor there, but he worked hard. So when he came in from his job, and he sat down in his recliner, certain things, this was it. And one thing, from about 5 o'clock to about 5:30, when the evening news was on over in Arkansas, you couldn't say a word. I mean, me and my brother, we like, man, we ain't gonna say nothing, man. Daddy, he'll go off. He said, the news. We used to think that. I said, man, the news not that important, is it? But my dad, he was a good dad, loving man, but he was kind of old school now. Sometimes he was easily provoked. And he come from his factory. I'd never forget this. You know, he was a supervisor. So he had to kind of, you know, tell workers what to do and all that. And you know, where he worked was kind of some tough, rough blue collar type guy. So, you know, I'm sure my dad had to kind of get on him. I worked there one summer and he had to kind of raise his voice. So when he come home, Brother Ford, he didn't downshift into home mode. He was still in factory mode. So he'd come home, he'd be like, sit down, Jerry, I told you to sit down. Like, man, I'm your son. I'm not a worker. I'm not just like, it took him a little while to kind of, you know, to kind of get back in home mode. I didn't understand that when I was little, but I kind of understood it as I got a little older. So my daddy at times was easily provoked. So, brother, I'm just saying, we don't need to be easily provoked, is all I've said. We need to treat our wives, once again, in a loving and an understanding way, not being easily provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, meaning basically we need to be forgiving, brothers. You know, in a marriage, there are going to be some wrong suffered. There are going to be some things that a person might say or do that's not healthy for the marriage. But you can't be saying, you know, telling your wife, well, I remember what you did 3 years and 28 days ago. I remember. No, we got to forgive. You got to be forgiving. So, Lord, help me to forgive her. Lord, help me forgive him. Our love does not count. In other words, you don't have something in your pocket. And every time she does something or every time he does something, you put in a little mark. And, okay, there's another mark. There's another mark. The powers of love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Let some of that stuff just roll off your back. Just roll on, you know. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. But it rejoices with the truth. I'm just talking about, brothers, how you and I can be better husbands and live with our wife in an understanding way by showing her unconditional love, sacrificial love, John 3:16 type of love. And let me just say this, you know, as we think about marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And Ephesians 5:25 tells us, brothers, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, for the church. So that's our perfect model. You know, we as Christians, we Christ is our bridegroom. And we, the church, the Christian, we are the bride of Christ. So one of the great things about marriage is it gives a earthly picture of a heavenly relationship. Our marriages should. So brothers, in our marriages, it's in Ephesians 5, we in our marriage ought to be as Christ is to the church. We ought to be like that toward our wives. Let's be honest, all of us fall far short of that. But we're striving, and that's our goal. Brothers, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And let me say this, before you can pull off this type of love, before you can do this type of thing, you got to first be in Christ. You got to first be saved. You got to first be born again. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't do this in the flesh. You got to be walking with Jesus. You got to have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God inside of you. So really, step one, even before we get to the sacrificial love and even before we get to the lifelong commitment, step one really is just make sure that you belong to God. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure you are the redeemed of God. Make sure you've come to Christ and say, Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I know I've done some stuff wrong in my life. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So first, brother, before we can be the right type of husband, before we can be the right type of husband and father, we got to first be right with the Lord. Remember, that was kind of last week's message. We got to be right with the Lord. Get that relationship first. And then once you're right with the Lord, you can say, God, fill me with your spirit. Let the fruit of the spirit come out of me. Love, joy, peace. Let me love my wife as Christ loves the church. Let me be committed to my wife for the rest of my life. And the Lord will help you. There are certain prayers we can pray. We don't have to be wondering about, well, I wonder if God going to help me. If God going to help me. No, if you ask the Lord to make you a better husband, guess what? God can make you be a better husband. Let me repeat that. Skirt, rewind. Let me repeat that. If you ask the Lord to make you be a better husband, God will help you and me become a better husband. He can do that, and he will do that. God is for marriage. Once again, he created marriage. So, brothers, remember, as we try to be better husbands, let us indeed be committed, lifelong commitment, committed to our wife. Also, brothers, secondly, let us have a type of sacrificial love, unconditional type of love, which simply means my love for my wife is not really conditioned on how she treats me. My love, because I'm a Christian, my love toward my wife is unconditional. It's not, okay, if she does that, then I'll do this. If she acts treat me that way, then I'm not. No, it's unconditional. I mean, there are no strings attached. It's the type of love that God has for us. Now, see, if Jesus' love for us, if God's love for us was conditional upon the way we act or we behave, guess what? We wouldn't be in a relationship with him. If you say, I'm going to wait till he or she get this right, then no. So that's the type of love you and I should model toward our spouse, is an unconditional love. And once again, this stuff is not easy. I'm not sitting behind the pulpit this morning saying, I got it all figured out. I got it straight. It's easy. No, it's not easy. It's work. But it's doable. It's work, but it's doable. Another thing, another way to honor your wife. Once again, 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, basically honoring her. Is, brothers, be the priest of your home. Be the priest of your home. And once again, this is not an exhaustive list, but be the priest of your home. Ephesians 5:26 even tells us, brothers, that we should wash our wife in the word. So make sure, brother, that you are, make sure, husbands, you are in God's word. Make sure that you are helping to lead and guide your wife away from heresy and into God's truth. Make sure if nobody else is praying, and I know we got some praying ladies praying, that's great, but brothers, you need to be like, if nobody else is praying in the house, I'm going to be praying, because God has called me to be the priest of my family. He's called me to lead my family spiritually especially, but in other ways as well, but he's called me to do that. So brothers, you need to be the priest of your home. You know, I often talk about the four P's, and I won't really go into that too heavy this morning, but not just the priest of your home, but also you need to be the protector of your home. Also the prophet of your home, meaning leading them in the things of God, the word of God, and also the primary provider for your home. But mainly I'm focusing this morning on being the priest and the prophet of your home. The spiritual kingpin, if you will, of your home. And so once again, I don't know where you are now in that position, but wherever you are, say, Lord, help me to get a little better. Help me to get up here, and help me to definitely pray for my wife and the kids. Help me to indeed read the word of God myself, and as I read it, apply it to my life and discuss it some with my wife. The brothers, we need to be the priest of our home. So we need to, of course, have an absolute commitment to our wife, be faithful to our wife. Also, we need to have unconditional and sacrificial type of love toward our wife. Also, we need to, once again, be the priest of our home, brothers. Another thing that would kind of show love to our wives and also honor and respect to our wives, as 1 Peter 3:7 says, is in your, as a husband in the home, have well-defined roles. In other words, kind of who's doing what? Who's responsible for what? Well-defined roles. And I won't go totally into that today. I probably will a little bit next week as well, because we'll talk more about the wife's roles next week. But this week, well-defined roles, very minimum, kind of summing up what I've already said this morning, The three L's when we talk about well-defined roles, three L's. Brothers, we need to lead, love, and listen to your wife. Lead, love, and listen to our wives. We need to lead, love, and listen. When you talk about roles, we're called to lead our homes. God says that over and over throughout the scriptures. We're definitely called to love our wife, again, as Christ loves the church. And then also, we're called to listen to our wife. Now you all know this stat. This is documented, and there are some exceptions, but typically most ladies use 25,000 to 30,000 words a day. Yeah. Most brothers use 10,000 to 15,000 words a day. So sisters, kind of help a brother out. Now sometimes by the time we get home in the evening, we didn't use up our little words. That's why I use it. The wife said, "Well, honey, how was your day today?" "Oh, it was all right." That's about all we said. That's all I got left. It was all right. But then we all ask our wife, "How was today?" Meanwhile, 30 minutes later, they give us the details. We give the cleft note version. So the chat, we get a little short version, but our wife give the longer version. But we're called to listen to our wife. And you know, our wife is Sharon, and Sister Tanya probably would quickly raise her hand, and we're listening. You know, we're listening. But then, you know, you all are going through 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things. I'm still up on number 1 and number 2, and our wife going on to 4 and 5, and then your wife might say something like, "You're not even listening to me." And then, of course, we say, "Yeah, I'm listening." And then comes that real dreadful question. "What was I saying? What did I say?" And that's when prayer life kicks in. "Lord, help me to remember. Bring it on back." I got 1 and 2, but I missed 3, 4, and 5. But brothers, we're called to listen. That's part of living with our wife in an understanding way. So Lord, help my listening skills to improve a little bit. Sister Michelle, help our listening skills. Sister Kat, help my listening skills improve a little bit. Sister Tanya probably said, "Amen, amen." But we're called to love our wife, to lead our wife and our family, but also to listen to our wife. So the husband honors his wife by doing some of those things. Quick recap. I won't keep you much longer this morning. Quick recap. In marriage, husbands, we're called for a lifelong commitment. So I'm locked in. I'm locked in. This is a lifelong commitment to my wife. I'll be faithful to her and to the marriage and to my Lord. Also, brothers, we are to love our wives unconditionally, sacrificially. In other words, it's not a tit for tat. It's not, "Okay, well, no, she ain't been treating me right lately." So, no, it's an unconditional type of love. Also, brothers, we are called to be the priest of our home, to be praying for our wife, praying for the kids if you have kids, praying and in the word of God. Be the priest of your home. Be the priest of your home. Also have these well-defined roles: to love your wife, to lead your wife, to listen to your wife. Next week, we'll deal with some other things like intimacy and communication and finances and some of those things as it relates to marriage. But today, one other thing I want to mention today is, husband, you honor your wife, you show your wife love by exhibiting mutual submission. It's right there in the text, Ephesians 5:21. This is a much debated, analyzed verse, but it's right in the Word of God, and I think it's pretty clear. But we oftentimes miss Ephesians 5:21 by trying to jump on to Ephesians 5:22. See, 5:21 says, "Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord," right? And let's talk about not just in a marriage, but just talking about generally in the Christian context, as brothers and sisters in Christ, but also it's applicable to marriage also. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. But we, brothers, we jump on right on to 5:22. Why submit to your own husband as to the Lord? Now, we'll deal more with that next week. You have to come back next week to get that. We'll deal with that more next week. But first, though, brothers, in verse 21, before we get to verse 22, we got to look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, submit to one another in the fear of God. So in a marriage, yes, the husband, yes, the man, we're called to lead. Yes. But still in the marriage, we're also called for this area of mutual submission. In other words, in our marriages, brothers, we're not to be the dictator. My way or the highway. I'm the leader of this marriage, you know. I'll never forget this. One of my best friends, he was in my wedding back in 93. One of my best buddies, he lives over in Dallas. We went to college together, and I've referenced him before. And, you know, he was kind of brought up in the church, but he was kind of away from the Lord. And so I was talking to him about, you know, I just got married. This is 93. And I said, man, it's amazing. The Sunday school lesson just leading up to our marriage, it was dealing with Ephesians 5. And I was reading him some of these verses, and he was listening. And then I got to verse 22. I'll never forget it. I got to verse 22 because he was married at the time. I got to verse 22, and I said, it says, why submit to your husband as to the Lord? He said, wait, where is that in the Bible, man? Well, give me that verse. Let me write that down. Let me... I said, hold on, brother, you're just going to take that one verse out of all these 20 verses. But he got super excited. Sister Shelly, where's that verse? Where's that? He wasn't listening too much at first, Brother Charlie, but when I got to that verse, I'd never forget that. So, brothers, we're not to be dictators. You know, we ought to lead our family, our wife. We ought to love them, but also it's a mutual submission. A mutual submission. Let me give you an example. For instance, submit, brothers, to the duty of being sensitive to your wife's needs, her feelings, and her fears. You can say, well, I want to submit to being sensitive to my wife's needs, to her feelings, and to her fears. Simply put, in a marriage, one of the challenges for us, brothers, we got to always say, hey, well, I'm going to put my wife first. Yes, I'm called to be the leader of the home, but yes, I'm going to put my wife first. So submit your desires and your will to hers. Philippians 2:3 says, generally speaking, it says, esteem the other person more highly than yourself. So in marriage, you got to say, well, brothers, I'm going to esteem my wife more highly than myself. Philippians 2:4. Listen to what Philippians 2:4 says. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. So in a marriage, it's a good mindset for the husband and the wife to be in. Philippians 2:4. It's a good reference to write down. Philippians 2:4. Let each of us, husband and wife, look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Also for the interests of your spouse, your husband or your wife. Philippians 2:4 is a great verse to meditate on as we talk about marital relationships. Kind of now back to the brothers. Look what Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, right in the bulletin, right in the Bible says, listen to this, brothers, as we talk about mutual submission, putting others before ourselves. Ephesians 5, 28 says, so husbands ought to love their own wife as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. God makes it very clear to us in verse 29 of Ephesians 5. Said, brothers, don't just look out for your own self, your own flesh, your own body, but nourish and cherish your wife just as the Lord does the church. So you and I, brothers, are called to nourish and cherish our wives just as, once again, as Christ does the church. So the Bible clearly says, don't look out just for yourself, which typically in the flesh, we are kind of all self-centered to a certain extent. But God said, look out for the issues of your wife. I nourish and cherish her. So brothers, live with your wife in an understanding way, giving her honor as a fellow heir, as a sister in Christ. Because in a Christian marriage, our wife is not just our wife, but she's also our sister in Christ. You know, if you're blessed to be married to someone who's saved, who's born again. So 1 Peter 3:7 says, hey, treat her, live with her in an understanding way and honor her as a fellow heir of grace. Honor her as a fellow Christian. And brothers, Ephesians 5:25 says, love her. Your spouse, your wife, love her as Christ loved the church. and gave himself up for the church. Brothers, that's a tall command. That's a tall mandate. But once again, be encouraged, because we aren't called to do it on our own. We aren't called to do it, and we can't do it in our own strength, in our own flesh. Just got to be real. Say, God, I can't do this. I can't love my wife. I'm falling way short. So help me out, Lord. Help me. Show me ways to love my wife better. Show me ways how to cherish and nourish her. Show me ways to have unconditional love toward my wife. Show me ways how to be the priest of my home. Show me ways of how to have well-defined roles in my home. Show me ways how I can mutually submit to my wife. You got to ask the Lord those things. You got to ask the Lord those things and work on those things. And wives, be praying for your husband as he strives to be a better husband. Because wherever your marriage is this morning, you might be about to fail, or you might be, average, about a C, or you might be a B, or you might almost be an A. But wherever you are, I dare say all of us can improve our marriages some. So if you got an average marriage, a C, you can move it on up to a B. If you got a B, a good marriage, moving on up to a great marriage, an excellent marriage, an A. But the Lord tells us how we can kind of do this. What's the general mindset that you and I should have? And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, one of the greatest laboratories, if you will, if I can use that word, one of the greatest laboratories for you and for me to live out this Christian faith that we articulate and we say that we possess, one of the greatest laboratories is right there in a marriage. Right there in the home. Because you deal with issues every day. You deal with issues every day. So you have opportunity to either be forgiven or not forgiven. You have opportunity to just kind of be vindictive or not be vindictive. You have opportunity to be a loving and giving and caring or not be loving and giving and caring. On a daily basis. On a daily basis. I leave you with these two verses again. I'm basically through. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Then it talks about honoring her. That your prayers may not be hindered. That's at the end of it. There's a lot in that verse. So I didn't deal with that part. But brothers, this is a very serious verse. As a husband, brothers, if we are not treating our wives correctly, if we're not being right by our wife, you basically might as well get up off your knees unless you're asking God to help you to treat her right. Because God said, if we don't treat our wife right, God said, I'm not even really listening to your prayers. You see, your prayers will be hindered. See, all the more, that's one of the reasons that the enemy, the devil, likes to keep us all separated in our marriage, like keep us all frustrated in our marriage. Because if nothing else, for the brother, that makes our prayer life ineffective. If I'm mad at him, I can't be, trying to pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to do this and do this. And I'm mad at Tanya and I forgive me. My prayer life is just short circuited until you get right with your spouse. So husbands, love your wife. Live with her in an understanding way. Honor her, that your prayers may not be hindered. And love her, brothers. Love as an agape type of love, a sacrificial type of love, a giving type of love. Love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for the church. See, the verse didn't even leave us any room to wiggle out and say, well, I don't really know how Christ loved the church. It tells us right there in that verse, Ephesians 5:25, says, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Gave himself for the church. So it means again, brothers, that you and I have to live sacrificially with our wives. Live with them a giving type of love. Giving up our own personal whatever, agendas, a personal me, myself, and I first. No, put the other one first. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. That's a good chapter to read and meditate on, verses 3 through 8 or so. Love is not self-centered. Love is not about just me, myself, and I. True love, biblical love, agape love. We're not talking about erotic love or phileo love or even the storge or the family type of love. We're talking about the agape, the sacrificial type of love. So husbands, have a lifelong commitment. Have an unconditional love. Be the priest of your home. Have some well-defined roles for your home. and also exhibit mutual submission. And if we do that, brothers, I promise you, if we do that, our marriages will, yes, you're going to still have some ups and downs. Yes, you're going to still have some bumps in the road. But if we do that, our marriages will flourish and thrive. They will. They will, as you apply these biblical principles to your role as the husband. And next week we'll look at the wife. But brothers, this week, let's get it right. Let's strive to do these things right out of, if you don't remember anything else I said, 1 Peter 3:7, Ephesians 5:25, those two verses right there, brothers, to give us enough ammunition to give us a great start in being a better husband. A husband is pleasing to the Lord and more pleasing to our wife and the family. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the word of God. We thank you, dear God, for direction. We thank you for the spirit of God that's inside of us that we